Hello and welcome to New Horizons. I'm Brian Sislak. Today, The Sacred Heart, an astonishing new photographic atlas of the human body as seen through invasive medical surgery. The collection was produced by photojournalist Max Aguilera Helveg.
You know, I start my book with a cesarean birth, and it ends with an AIDS autopsy. The book runs from head to toe, but in between, that is the cycle of life.
What a piece of work is man, paragon of animals. Those words by William Shakespeare summarize the historical view of humanity as the pinnacle of creation. In earlier times, it was thought that scientific study of the human body might knock man off from his lofty perch, that too great a familiarity with our inner workings might breed contempt for a species seen as having been created in God's image. Over time, that view changed. Science celebrates the intricacy and hidden beauty of nature, and few things are more intricate than the insides of the human body as seen through the eyes of a surgeon. On this week's New Horizons, VOA's Adam Phillips speaks with prize-winning photojournalist Max Aguilera Helveg, whose recent book, for the first time, makes available to the layperson an intimate view of the body's interior, a view that once was the exclusive province of those who wielded the scalpel. Here is Adam Phillips.
Hello, and welcome to New Horizons. First, I was hoping you'd tell me what this book, The Sacred Heart, is for you, and what you're trying to achieve with these extraordinary photographs.
Well, it's an art book of photographs of human anatomy seen through surgery. I asked myself the question, who are we and where do we reside? And essentially, I tried to map the body centimeter by centimeter, looking for where I existed by photographing other people's bodies in surgery. And I had the question, are we in our hearts? Are we in our minds? Are we in our sexual organs? What if my limb was just amputated? Am I in that amputated limb? Where is it that I exist? And we have all this romantic ideas that we exist in our heart, either our feelings or our soul or something, or maybe we exist in our brain. But I tried to map the body, and that's what I was doing, asking myself that question.
Give me an example of one of the photographs that helped take you on that journey.
There was a woman who was born with a craniofacial bone disorder where the bones of her skull grew at an abnormal rate. And in the procedure, they were doing reconstructive surgery, they took off her face. And in that particular photograph, you know, the question arises, if our face is off, are we still ourselves? And I don't have any answers, but I got to ask the most primal question of existence, who am I, in the most intimate and unique of situations.
There's a whole range of responses that are possible with these extremely intimate photographs. That's a very good word for this. What are you getting at with that? And I wonder how you get at the spiritual dimension of things through this very, unequivocal physicality.
Well, for me, I mean, when I went into my first operation, I was in utter awe of looking inside the body. And what I looked at was so mysterious, so amazing, so powerful, that I was compelled to return again and again and again. It was like, you know, looking into God's creation, and in a way, I'm actually seeing how we were formed or how creation developed in this amazing dynamic array that is our bodies. And, you know, the fact that we walk, we talk, we think, we breathe, that we function is amazing to me. And when you see the dysfunctions, the reasons why we come into hospitals to get fixed or corrected or repaired, the stark reality that of the amazement of our being here presents itself.
The thing that's so jarring to me, at least, about these images in some ways, is that you're looking at something that on one level almost seems like meat, like something you might almost see in a butcher shop in
mm-hmm,
a way.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there's something else seems to shine through, or maybe that's what you're calling awe.
The spirituality, you know, I was giving a lecture at a medical school at Tufts University this past spring, and I was showing all these photographs of surgery, and I was with medical students there, and I kept talking about the spirituality, and they said to me, how can you call this? These are people who have been through gross anatomy, and they said, how could you call this spiritual? And I said, because it just is. It's spiritual, I guess, in that it's a great, great mystery, how it all came together.
Tell me a little bit about the first operation you photographed. I noticed that's on the front cover of the book.
This man was hanging with a C. He had a C clamp attached to his skull, and he was hanging from a hook from the ceiling. And in this procedure, it would stretch out his vertebrae. He had come to the hospital with a sudden onset of paralysis, and a CAT scan, a computerized X-ray, revealed that he had a calcium deposit that had built up on the vertebrae, and it was pressing into his spinal cord, causing the paralysis. So they decided to remove the backside of 5 vertebrae, and the surgeon was operating standing, and the patient was vertical as opposed to lying down and bent over as would normally be. And at one point, the surgeon stepped aside and said, here, take a picture of this. And there I was, an arm's length distance from an exposed spinal cord, and I realized I was in the most intimate, most inviolate, most vulnerable place I'd ever been in my whole life. And my gut reaction, to be honest with you, I wanted to spit into it, to defile it, because I couldn't bear the intensity of being in front of something so pure, so magnificent, that I paled in comparison to this. And I said, asked the surgeon, I said, what is it? What is it? What's it made of? And she said very matter-of-factly, it's like a sausage with toothpaste inside it. And this was her best metaphor to tell me of what was the texture and feel of something, this magnificent thing, the spinal cord, that transmits the feelings of hot and cold and pain and touch to our brain.
Tell me, how do you actually manage to take these photographs? Operating rooms are very busy places, and the stakes are, you know, pretty high. Were you right in the middle of everything? Didn't you get in the way? What was your technique?
I worked on a very tall, heavy, sturdy tripod with a 4x5 field cam, a very large camera with a bellows on it. And I would, when I entered the operating room prior to it, I would ask the doctor what the ground rules were, and I would always tell him up front that I took no for an answer. I usually chose to be in the anesthesiologist position, which is right behind the head, and I was able to work with safety and discretion, standing on top of stepladders.
You're listening to New Horizons on the Voice of America. I'm Adam Phillips. My guest is the photojournalist Max Aguilera-Helveg. He's just published a fascinating book of his photographs. It's called The Sacred Heart, An Atlas of the Body Seen Through Invasive Surgery. Max, you were telling me before that these images have provoked an incredible range of responses from people.
My experience is that people react to these pictures very much like a Rorschach test. People see it in their own unique different ways, either because they've had a procedure or someone else had a procedure, or they had a nightmare or a dream, or it takes on mythical proportions to them. There's a photograph of a boy who has a sunken chest. He had a genetic disorder in which his ribs kept on growing. They kept growing, and the pressure of that growth developed a concave circle and down into the pit of their chest. And there's a photograph in the book of this boy prior to surgery having this pool of iodine solution, which they used to sterilize the body before the operation. And you can't tell what's going on. You see the concentric circles of the iodine, and you see what looks like a hole in the center of this chest. And I've heard people remark of feeling such great pain in their life that they feel like there's this bottomless pit, this black hole inside their bodies. And this picture, you know, for some people might remark, you know, to them about that. There's another photograph that of a hip replacement, and there's it's after the procedure, and they're using up gauze to soak up blood, and because there's so much blood, some of the gauze looks like human tissue. Yet there's a fresh piece of white gauze sticking in the surgical wound, and this picture, to me, reminds me of a Civil War battlefield after the battle has ended and a calla lily is growing in the field.
I know that some people refuse even to look at these pictures at all. I mean, they think that showing the blood and the guts and all that is just gross. They're disgusted by it.
To be honest with you, I've had a very tough time rationalizing my awe and amazement with other people's disgust and revulsion. I don't understand it. How could we? I don't understand. You know, it's like someone saying to me, I know I have a heart, but please don't show it to me. I mean, what's the difference between the outside of my skin and the inside of my skin? It's only that it's hidden, but it's still made of the same material, essentially. We're all, made up of the same 111 or 113 elements that exist in the universe. Hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, phosphorus, calcium, and all the various other elements. And I don't understand it. And at a time, I did question my motives, and I wondered if I suffered from some kind of bloodlust, because I started to enjoy getting sick. It was like a live chemistry experiment, and was upset to find out that a growth behind my ear was just a swollen gland and not a cyst that needed surgery. And I started looking at my friends, and they would become unnerved because they found me looking in them and not at them, because I would be imagining there, the muscles of their jaw, my hands would be in a way massaging their liver. I could see their heart beating. After all the anatomy I've seen, I started undressing people. You know, most men, you know, undress women on the street. I go a little bit further. But in the end, I feel like I actually do suffer from some kind of bloodlust. And what that bloodlust is that, what is blood? And how does the oxygen bind with the hemoglobin? Where does it take it? And where does the CO2 come from? And you can get lost in the journey of science and the body and anatomy. And that's where it's taken me. And I feel privileged to bring this material to the rest of the world and be its mediator.
Something your book really brings out is how our bodies, something that's so close to us, can be sort of so alien at the same time.
When I went into my first operation, it was so foreign to any experience I ever had. It was as if I was in one of the Apollo rockets or some kind of spaceship, and I was blasting off going to the moon or Pluto. And with my camera, I went to Pluto and took pictures of something we've seen from afar but could never touch. And I have physical evidence of something as foreign to us as our own body.
Yeah, that's really fascinating.
That's the amazing thing. I mean, this is something none of us get to see, and the only people who get to see this are doctors, medical examiners, people who work in a medical field, and yet it's, you know, it's as intimate as ourselves, and so this dichotomy presents itself that's primal to anybody.
Give me another example of the primal worlds you saw when shooting these photographs and how they affected you or changed the way you looked at things over time.
One of the most phenomenal procedures you can be in are the organ procurement procedures, people who become organ donors, because you're faced with the irony or the dichotomy of that these people are dead. They're clinically dead, and they're brain dead, but they keep their heart beating on by machine. And these people are dead, and they open up their chest in the operating room to retrieve the heart, and the heart is still beating, and their lungs are taking in oxygen. And this is the most phenomenal thing to see. And teams of surgeons, the heart team, the liver team, the kidney team, a special bone and skin team, and eye team come over a 10-hour period retrieving the specific organs for their transplant procedures. And after my first organ donor experience, I'd been up for 36 hours because there was the waiting of the testing prior to the procedure. And then we went into the procedure, which was like 10, 12 hours. And after this long, arduous procedure, I'd seen so much blood and human anatomy in one sitting. When I went to sleep that night or that day, after being up for 36 hours, I closed my eyes, and I when you close your eyes, you see the darkness of your eyelids or whatever, but I didn't see the darkness of my eyelids. Instead, I saw a kaleidoscope of tissue and arteries and veins and orifices opening and closing, anatomy that really did not exist, something akin to maybe Grey's Anatomy on acid.
I wonder about the doctors and the nurses and the other surgical staff who see this every day.
I asked a surgeon, a transplant surgeon, who traditionally they work at odd hours and long hours, what did she see as she closed her eyes at night when she tried to go to sleep? And she said, Max, rivers and rivers of blood.
Wow, rivers and rivers of blood. You've told me that some of the doctors who've seen these photos have actually been offended by them, that some have told you that such images shouldn't be seen anywhere outside an operating room. What's up with that?
I'm not sure why doctors are so private about this. It relates to really, doctors are not really different from anybody else, and they have fear of death and fear of blood. And these pictures work on many different levels, including they bring to mind our mortality.
Right. What about this? I mean, these seems like meditations on transience. I mean, just how close to death life is and how hot life is also.
I find I'd rather embrace my fears. You know, death is inevitable. And why be afraid of something that will happen to all of us? If anything, it's probably going to be one of the momentous experiences of our life. You know, it just makes you question, again, who are we?
Now, let's talk a little bit about this idea of disgust that people have. I mean, I've been sort of walking up and down the halls of VOA showing this to wanting to show this to my friends and stuff. Mm-hmm. But before I do, I say, are you squeamish? Are you, you know, easily, you know, what about that? What is this part of us that recoils? And is it the fear of death, you think, or what? I mean,
I think on some level, I, you know, don't have the diagnosis of this, but it is my impression when I probe further with people who react to this with disgust and revulsion, that there's some very strong fear of death going on, and they choose to stay, I don't know, at a distance from acknowledging this part of themselves. I think, though, for some people, they see a knife in the picture, and they see blood, and these are violent objects, you know, used in homicides and in war and such. Maybe it's the fear of that kind of violence. Except in the operating room, in medicine, these acts that appear violent, you know, thank God for the discovery of anesthesia and antiseptic procedure, they are done for life-saving acts to prolong your life, to better your life. And that's what you see in this book, is the miracles of medicine and humanity and science.
Well, another thing I see in this book, I mean, it really shines out as an incredible amount of love that you seem to feel for the procedure and a sort of a heartfelt connection to the humanity of the people who are on the table. I mean, and I wonder if there isn't a connection between a fear of death and the intimacy that you describe. You know, love and death is a perennial coupling.
You know, really, it is, like I said, this is a Rorschach test. And people react and respond in their own and unique ways. What's great about this is that this is a book. It can be put on a shelf. It can be opened and closed. It can be come back to. And people can process this material slowly at their own speed and hopefully come to, you know, a higher level. That is my hope.
We're almost out of time, and there's something I really want to know before we close. You began this project with the question, where are we? Where do we reside? What is life exactly? Did you come to any conclusions about that? I mean, do we reside in our bodies, or do you think that the body is something completely separate from the spirit that you witnessed?
It seems to me, and I'm not, I don't have the exact answer, but it seems life is like a force, like an energy force, and once we die, it leaves.
You've been listening to New Horizons, a weekly Voice of America program on developments in science, technology, and medicine. Today you heard an interview with photojournalist Max Aguilera-Helveg, conducted by VOA's Adam Phillips. Mr. Aguilera-Helveg's book, The Sacred Heart, An Atlas of the Human Body Seen Through Invasive Surgery, is published by Little Brown & Company. This program was produced by Adam Phillips, directed by Tom Sargent. I'm Brian Sislak. Thank you for listening.